Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the weekend edition of the Midland Reporter Telegram, specifically for Saturday, June 29th, 2024. Doubletree owner denies hotel is in foreclosure. By Mela McEwen, oil editor. Shafiq Tehani, managing partner at the Doubletree by Hilton Midland Plaza, forcefully denied reports Friday that the downtown hotel was in foreclosure. "It is not in foreclosure. There is no big sign in front of the property," he told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. "Ownership is still in control of the property." The bank servicer working with Tehani's company was required to follow legal proceedings and file a statement with the state of Texas that it had the right to foreclose on the hotel. That notice included a notice of foreclosure sale for August 6th, but Tehani explained that was part of the legal proceedings. It was a way the servicer could ensure the hotel could be foreclosed on if desired before the 28-day deadline. "But it is not in foreclosure," he said. After being denied $15 million in funding by the Midland Development Corporation and City of Midland for required upgrades to the property, Tehani put the 262-room on the market. The hotel will be sold at auction on July 28th, the day people can bid on the hotel and purchase it, he said. "It is not a distress sale," he stressed, "but seen as a way to expedite the sale of the property. According to the online listing, the starting bid for the hotel is $5 million. Even if ownership changes, the business will still be there. It will still be in operation," Tehani said. He decried having such false information posted online. "It's really unfair that people post such stuff that puts people under unnecessary stress. The team, the clients who wonder if it's still open," he said. MISD renews astound contract. Fee rises to $150,000. By Trevor Hawes, editorial director. The cost to rent Astound Broadband Stadium is rising for Midland ISD. MISD trustees this week voted to approve the terms of its new contract with the city to use the venue. The school district will pay a use, occupancy, and operation fee of $150,000, and the rent will rise $15,000 annually until the lease term expires July 31, 2029. The fee will have reached $210,000 by that time, and the district has the option to extend its contract for up to 3 more years. According to the City of Midland, the rental fee for 2024 was $113,000, up from $96,000 a year prior. The city will retain all revenue earned from concession sales. Per the contract, MISD must pay its annual fee in full by September 1st each year. The fee schedule, including optional extensions from 2029 through 2031, is as follows. 2024, $150,000. 2025, $165,000. 2026, $180,000. 2027, $195,000. 2028, $210,000. 2029, $225,000. 2030, $240,000. 2031, $255,000. MISD can use the stadium for football and soccer games, as well as marching band events and non-extracurriculars like graduation. Chad Krausen, general counsel for MISD, said during the board's monthly meeting that 2029 was chosen for the end of the regular contract term because New Legacy and Midland High Schools are expected to be in operation by that time. Voters passed a $1.415 billion school bond in November 2023. The marquee projects are construction of a new Midland High School on the site of Ranchland Hills Golf Club, which MISD purchased in 2019, and a new Legacy High to be built on land in the area of Tradewinds Boulevard and Thomason Drive. The new high schools will have facilities dedicated to extracurriculars, such as soccer and band. Thus, the district might not need the stadium for everything in the current contract when the new campus is open in 2028. A city spokesperson told the Reporter Telegram that the next step is for the city council to finalize the deal, which may appear as soon as July. Legacy Extreme opens. By BK Richter, staff writer. For Terry Lane and Cinnamon Stanford, the concept behind their Business Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center was built on the premise of providing entertainment alternatives to Midland families. We felt like there were a lot of things to do, but then the kids would leave happy while the parents felt like it was a chore, Lane explained during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. Or you have a nice restaurant, but the kids are bored and have nothing to do. Lane said the concepts behind Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center was to bring entertainment to all members of the family. And that is exactly what she did when she and her co-owner opened for business during their soft opening last Friday. According to Lane, one of the main differences with Legacy Extreme Entertainment Center is that the business is not franchise operated. Rather, it is owned by two Midland families local to the area. As far as attractions that the entertainment venue offers, a jump park as well as several virtual simulators are available. The jump park is open to all ages, but times are limited due to certain age groups using the facility, Lane said. For example, we have a toddler's only time to give them the added protection to run freely. Another feature of the business is a team night on Saturday nights, which Lane says will give teens something to do to keep kids occupied and busy. As for the virtual simulator, Lane refers to them as pod rooms. We have four bays upstairs on the lounge side, she said. Up to 8 people can play at once, and we offer all types of sports games such as baseball, soccer, football, lacrosse, darts, skee-ball, and more. Lane said an additional game includes a hunting and virtual shooting range as well. For the pricing, the cost is $65 per pod, with up to 8 people for 1 hour. The jump park is $20 for 2 hours and includes a special type of trampoline socks. We do not require guests to have the proper bottom for the trampoline socks, Lane explained. Other features of the entertainment venue include a basketball court, which advertises a dunking section, a dodgeball arena complete with soft foam balls, and a Ninja Warrior course. The Ninja Warrior course uses obstacles much like the hit television show that guests can navigate. Lane says the business also offers an air pit and an open jump area, which is different from the standard trampoline park. The air pit offers a trampoline and the guest lands into an airbag, Lane said. Our jump arena offers 16 square trampolines, which you can jump on. Since the soft opening last Friday, the entertainment center is now open to the public every day during the summer. However, Lane advised that since the venue has two sections, the hours for each are different. The jump park side is open noon to 8 p.m. on weekdays and noon to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The lounge is open 10:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday with extended hours of operation 10 a.m. to midnight, Friday and Saturday. We also offer a special brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, Lane said. For adults, Legacy Extreme offers a full sports bar and a self-serve drink area featuring different kinds of alcohol. Tall City Blues Fest announces 2024 lineup, headliner tickets. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Tall City Blues Fest announced the lineup for the 2024 Music Festival. This year's Tall City Blues Fest will be hosted at the Destination on September 21st. Local and visiting artists will perform leading up to the Illinois-based headliner. Food trucks and vendors will be on-site at the festival. Brandon Santini headlines this year's festival. Santini is known for his harmonica style and his raw vocals. He is a 7-time Blues Music Award nominee, a 3-time Billboard charting artist, and a Blues Blast Music Award winner. Santini will perform at 8:30 p.m. Twice as Nice, a duo featuring Midland's Leon Carrasco and Adrian Revilla, kick off the festival at 4 p.m. The duo represented the Greater West Texas Blues Society and finished in the finals at the International Blues Challenge in the solo/duo category. Sam Barlow and his True Blood band take the stage with his blistering guitar riffs at 5 p.m. The band was a semi-finalist in the International Blues Challenge. Kevin Burt continues the concerts with his warm and soulful vocals at 6 p.m. Burt was inducted into the Iowa Blues Hall of Fame in 2019 and was the winner of the 2018 International Blues Challenge. Kelly's Lot, featuring Kelly Zerbs as lead vocalist, brings its folky heart for the blues to the Tall City stage at 7:30 p.m. Kelly's Lot is an international touring band that fuses blues with southern rock. The Hooten Howlers close the night out with an encore performance. John Randall, Kelly Everett, and Andy Rem bring their Americana style of music and smash mixes of blues, garage rock, country, punk, and a hint of jazz at their concerts. Tickets for the Tall City Blues Fest can be found on their website. Early bird presale tickets cost $20. General admission tickets purchased after June 30 cost $30. Door tickets cost $40. Advanced VIP tickets cost $150. Kids 12 and under have free admission. Gates open at 4 p.m. Odessa police debunk viral post about a found newborn baby. By B.K. Richter, staff writer. Odessa. A social media post with a photo of a newborn baby has gone viral, but for the wrong reasons. Recently, a Facebook community titled Odessa, Texas Trading Post shared a photo of a newborn infant with the caption, "Breaking update. A newborn baby has been found by the police this morning here in Odessa, Texas. Let us flood our feeds and help identify who this newborn baby belongs to." The Reporter-Telegram sent an inquiry to Odessa City officials regarding the post and received a response from OPD Deputy Chief Matt Davidson. There is a growing concern about false information involving a newborn baby being found by the Odessa Police Department, he wrote in a press statement. There have been no cases reported to the Odessa Police Department. We have not found a newborn baby that is missing their parents. Davidson went on to add that if such an event did occur, then the Odessa Police Department would communicate to the public through their official channels of social media, news releases, and the City of Odessa's Communications Department. No further updates have been provided at this time. Local Students Make Dean's List by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Local students were named to the Spring 2024 Dean's List in the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. To qualify for the Dean's List, the following local students achieved at least a 3.75 grade point average for the semester while completing at least 12 credit hours. James Flores and Francis Goak of Midland were both named to the Dean's List. Spring 2024 graduates from Midwestern State University. Students graduated from Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls, Texas in spring 2024. Midwestern State University had 678 undergraduate and graduate students in spring 2024. Honor graduates receiving bachelor degrees included 64 summa cum laude, 74 magna cum laude, and 90 cum laude. Mayra Carrasco Hollis of Midland received a Bachelor of Science in Respiratory Care magna cum laude. Casa of West Texas will now serve Pecos County, Reeves County, and Brewster County. Casa of West Texas is expanding its 7-county service area to 10 counties. They will be expanding their service area to include 3 counties from the Trans-Pecos area, Pecos, Reeves, and Brewster counties. With this expansion, Casa of West Texas will now serve the following counties: Midland, Howard, Dawson, Gaines, Andrews, Martin, Glasscock, Pecos, Reeves, and Brewster counties. Executive Director Patty Pisklak stated, "It is a bigger challenge serving a larger area, but I am confident in our team at Casa of West Texas. We will continue to provide quality advocacy for every child in our new and current service area. There were approximately 50 children in care in these 3 counties last year." CASA, or Court-Appointed Special Advocate's mission, is to provide volunteers who provide quality advocacy for children experiencing the foster care system. CASAs are appointed by judges to serve the best interest of the child. In doing so, the job of CASA is to become acquainted with every aspect of the child's life, talking to parents, teachers, physicians, counselors, etc., to determine what the best long-term placement for the child is. For more information, visit casawtx.org. Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame. Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame 2025 induction nominations are due August 31st. Pedro Covarrubias named Principal of Long Elementary by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Pedro Covarrubias was hired as principal for Long Elementary School at Tuesday's school board meeting. The Board of Trustees unanimously approved to hire Covarrubias, who was the assistant principal at De Zavala Elementary School for the past 2 years. Covarrubias was also a multi-classroom leader for 2 years. He helped lead the South Elementary team out of improvement required status through mentoring, coaching, and support. Covarrubias participated in Midland ISD's Aspiring Principals Academy, a program that prepares assistant principals for future campus leadership. We are confident that Mr. Covarrubias has the skills necessary to continue the improvement at Long Elementary with skills and strategic operations and instructional leadership, said Brandon Reyes, Chief of Human Capital at MISD. Additionally, the board voted 4-3 to approve the resolution to delegate hiring authority to Stephanie Howard, the superintendent, for contractual personnel during the months of June, July, and August. Giving Howard hiring authority during the summer means that MISD could hire principals, executive directors, and higher-level positions between board meetings. Without this, MISD would have to wait or try to find a date for a special meeting for the candidate to be presented to the board. If a candidate is hired, they will be presented to the school board at the next scheduled meeting. The resolution will end in August, and the board will go back to their usual hiring process. Drilling activity falls to 3-year lows, by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Drilling activity continues to fall, and halfway through 2024 is approaching 3-year lows. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 fell for a fourth consecutive week, dropping 7 rigs to 581, the lowest level since December 2021. It is 93 rigs, or 14% below the 674 rigs active last year. The number of rigs seeking crude oil fell 6 rigs to 479, the lowest level since December 2021, and down 66 rigs from 545 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dropped by 1 rig to 97, the lowest level since 2021, and down 27 rigs from 124 last year. Texas followed the national trend, dropping 5 rigs to report 277 rigs at work stateside, 64 fewer rigs than the 341 seen last June. New Mexico dropped 1 to 107 for the week. Oklahoma, 1, joined Texas and New Mexico in seeing a decline, while the other producing states were unchanged. The Permian Basin saw 3 rigs laid down during the week to have 305 rigs active in the region. That's 36 fewer rigs than the 341 seen last year. Texas's other major play, the Eagle Ford, saw a similar 3-rig decline. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 52 rigs, down 1 for the week. Lea County, New Mexico, was right behind, reporting 51 rigs for a third week. Martin County was unchanged at 30 rigs, while Reeves County added a rig for 24 at work within county lines. Loving County was unchanged at 22 rigs, and Midland County was unchanged at 18 rigs. Upton County had 16 rigs, up for the week. Reagan County lost 2 rigs for 15 rigs at work. Howard County gained a rig for 13, and Glasscock County also gained a rig for 10 rigs at work within county lines. Tom Green County saw renewed activity with 1 rig going to work during the week. Energy Dedicated Software as a service firm, Enverus, said its U.S. rig count for the week ended June 21st rose 3 to 631, still down 111 rigs or 15% from 742 rigs a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for oil rose 4 rigs to 190, but remains 256 rigs or 57% below the 446 rigs drilling for oil last June. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose 2 to 106, 87 rigs or 45% the 193 reported the previous year. ExxonMobil remained atop the list of 10 most active operators by rig count with 39 rigs, up 1 for the week. ConocoPhillips remained in second with 32 rigs, unchanged for the week, and EOG Resources was third with 28 rigs, down 1. Enverus Permian rig count fell 4 rigs to 308 from 312 and is 52 rigs or 14% the 360 rigs at work in the play a year ago. The most active play, the Delaware, fell 4 rigs to 160, 28 rigs are 15% below the 188 counted last year. The Midland Basin was unchanged at 124 rigs, but is 18 rigs or 13% below the 142 rigs reported last June. Looking at trailing 30-day drilling permits, the Permian had 783 permits as of the week of June 7th, up from 766 the previous week, and 641 a year earlier. Enverus reported the Permian had 88 frac crews at work as of June 7th, down from 93 the previous week and 150 a year earlier. Crude prices remain on upward trend, by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Crude prices posted the third consecutive weekly gain, though gains were again undercut at the end of the week by profit-taking and concerns about weak U.S. fuel demand. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening the week with a 90-cent jump, followed by a 60-cent decline. Prices rose 84 cents Thursday to approach $82 per barrel, giving back 20 cents Friday to end the week at $81.54, up from $80.73 at last Friday's close. Natural gas prices continued to retreat, unable to retain the price boost from declining production amid plentiful supplies. Natural gas futures fell 4 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX. After opening the week with a 10.6 cent jump, prices began to fall, highlighted by Wednesday's 13 cent plunge. Futures fell an additional 8.4 cents Friday to close the week at $2.601 per MCF, down from $2.705 at last Friday's close. Over half of the exploration and production executive participating in the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas quarterly energy survey expect low prices at the Waha Hub in Reeves County, which have been negative 18 times this year, to affect their drilling and completion plans in the Permian Basin the remainder of this year. Of those responding, 43% expect a slightly negative impact and 14% expect a significantly negative impact. Still, respondents appeared more confident in commodity prices in the second quarter, according to survey results. Natural gas prices are improving, and therefore cash flow is forecast to improve. We are seeing more authorization for expenditure for drilling infill wells, which had been stalled for the past year or two, wrote one respondent. Another wrote, WTI, West Texas Intermediate Crude, and Henry Hub natural gas pricing directly affects our business as we are operating existing wells and providing cash flow to investors. The prior quarter saw a significant improvement to Henry Hub natural gas pricing and also a more stable oil market that exceeded expectations at the end of the last quarter for this quarter of pricing. Asked what they thought oil prices would be at the end of the year, the majority answered between $75 and $85, with a slight majority forecasting a price between $80 and $85. Asked what they thought the oil price would be in 6 months, after 1 year, after 2 years, and after 5 years, the average answer was $78 in 6 months, $80 in 1 year, $83 in 2 years, and $88 in 5 years. A large majority of respondents expect the Henry Hub price to be between $3 and $3.50 at the end of the year, followed by a price between $2.50 and $3. Asked what they thought the price would be in 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and 5 years, respondents said $2.93 in 6 months, $3.15 in 1 year, and $3.58 in 2 years, and $4.28 in 5 years. Life tributes. Leticia Letty Ann Castile Heist, January 8, 1932 to June 15, 2024. A bright light left this world and illuminated heaven in a glorious way. A true believer in God's word, Leticia Letty Ann Castile Heist went to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Saturday, June 15, 2024. Letty passed away peacefully at her home, surrounded by her loving family. A celebration of Letty's life will be held on August 24, 2024, at 2 p.m. in the chapel at Manor Park, 5212 Sinclair Avenue, Midland, Texas. Letty's family will have a graveside service at Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in her name to Manor Park, St. Stephen's Catholic Church, or Interim Hospice. Letty's family would like to extend their heartfelt thanks to her caregivers, Martha, Odelia, Patricia, Jessica, Minerva, and Mandy, for their loving and constant support of our mom. She will be deeply missed by her family, friends, and all those who knew her. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Gwendolyn Lawrence, February 2, 1952 to June 26, 2024. Gwendolyn Lawrence, 72, of Midland, Texas, passed away on June 26, 2024. Visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Monday, July 1, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Services will take place at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, July 2, 2024, at the Westside Church of Christ, located at 4410 Illinois Avenue in Midland, Texas. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Lester Dean Pierce, May 11, 1934 to June 25, 2024. Lester Dean Pierce, 90, of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, June 25, 2024. Dean Pierce was born to Lester and Cecil Pierce on May 11, 1934. He married the love of his life, Sherry Brinton, on December 24, 1966, and adopted a son on May 12, 1971. A donation to the West Texas Food Bank in Dean's name is a fitting way to celebrate his life. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Linda Sue Wilkins, September 9, 1947 to June 13, 2024. Linda Sue Wilkins of Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, June 13, 2024, at the young age of 76. Linda was born on September 9, 1947 in Amarillo, Texas, to Bill and Alberta Gregory. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, July 5, 2024 at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 6, 2024 at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Raquel Castro Polson, August 12, 1972 to June 22, 2024. Raquel Castro Polson, 51, of Stanton, Texas, passed away suddenly on Saturday, June 22, 2024. A rosary will be held at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, July 2, 2024, at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. A funeral mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, July 3, 2024, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Grand Companions Pet Rescue / Adoption of Midland and Fort Davis or Martin County Animal Advocates. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Jimmy D. Reddix. Jimmy D. Reddix, age 83, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord June 24, 2024. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchez.tfh.com. Ruth L. Alvarado. Ruth L. Alvarado, 55, passed away on Wednesday, June 19, 2024. Viewing will be Sunday, June 30th, 2024, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Sandra Ann Borrego. Sandra Ann Borrego, 61, of Midland, passed away June 22, 2024. Viewing will be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday, July 2, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 4 p.m. Tuesday, July 2, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.